Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. And we are rebroadcast on Sundays at atozen.fm at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and we actually provide archives of all of our programs at the radio show page at richarddugan.com. So we also link to our hosts' websites, as we will to our guest today, as we continue in the month of October and our A to Zen hosts broadcast. So the month of October, that's what we're focusing on. And we're focusing on the work that they are doing even beyond the hosting of their own radio programs as well. My guest today has her own program, and we'll talk about that. She has her own website. And interestingly enough, it's the same as her name, CherieValentine.com. And Cherie, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Richard. Thanks for inviting me.
This is interesting for me to talk with people who they've gotten involved with radio. They've gotten involved with radio, and obviously there was something there that intrigued you to the extent that you felt it. You felt the need to go in that direction. Tell me a little bit about what it was that led you to become a host.
Well, I remember years ago when I started out on this path of coaching, which has led me into a deeper realm of healing work with the coaching, I had written down as one of my goals or desires, radio show host. And to be honest with you, I'm really not sure why, but that just always seemed to show up. So I'm sure, looking back now, I realize there was a real need for me to heal and clear the energy in my throat chakra, which is basically a filter of energy in our systems, and speaking out to such a large audience as the radio was a way for me to work through some of that that personally. And then I think because I really felt so strongly about wanting to share my message of just love and hope and inspiration and inner wisdom, not just my message, but so many other people out there who had such, you know, strong, powerful messages themselves, it was a wonderful way for me to bring all that together and make it happen and make it possible.
Well, I know that for myself, it was an interesting process of getting into this business. It wasn't something that I had actively planned on, at least maybe not in a conscious level, because it was one of those things that, you know, one thing led to another, and boom, here I am 34, 35 years later. And it's like, really? It seems like just yesterday that we were doing this. But what's always intrigued me is the guests, the people that I've spoken with on these programs. And you are involved in, I mean, just some incredible work as well. Tell us a little bit about the work that you are doing these days.
Well, you know, I'm going to just tell you one more piece of how I got onto my own radio show. Okay. Because it ties in with the work I'm doing. In 1 week, I had 3 approaches from different people about coming and taking a look at their stations. And I really knew that had to be a sign, because it just happened like that. And I said, okay, I feel like I must be being nudged to do this. And the reason I say that is because I really help people, and the crux of it is to really move past blocks in their life that are not allowing them to maybe trust their intuition or trust their choices, that also maybe are not allowing them to move forward in a direction in which they want to. Maybe it's blocking them and it's showing up and manifesting as illness or pain, unhappy relationships, dysfunctional relationships. So I combine my gifts of intuition and a spirit, a very open spiritual sort of background, with coaching and understanding how energy works, the subconscious and our energy body and system works, to access and help people access their inner wisdom, I call it, so that they can move beyond these limiting beliefs and patterns and stories that they have.
Mm. Well, I know that empowerment is a huge topic on the table these days, a personal empowerment, taking back your power from others who you believe have had it for who knows how long. And when in the reality, when you start to go into that, you begin to realize that they never had your power in the first place. You just chose not to access it. I mean, there is a truth to that, isn't there?
Oh, there is a truth to that, and it's a hard pill for some people to swallow, for sure. So sometimes, you know, there might be a gentler way of having people come to that realization on their own, and I find that that's a little bit more powerful too, rather than telling somebody that that's happened. But it is true, and when you start to understand that, though, that's where the power comes in. When you understand that at some level you chose to either give your power away or to let someone take it, or for you not to show up and be in your own power, that you also then have the opportunity to change that. You understand that you're responsible at some level for the choices you've made, not from a place of blame or shame or judgment, but just of understanding and awareness that, oh, if I created this reality for myself, I can create a different one.
Mm. You are also, you also have work that you're doing in relation, not just to the radio program now, but you were sharing off air, and I don't know if you want to share this on the program or not, about something new that has just transpired where people can get in touch with you, not only via the phone, but now, as you and I are speaking, via Skype, which I've only started using in the last few months to do these interviews, and they've just sounded so much better. I still prefer the in-person interviews, but, you know, you take what you can get.
Yes.
And this is pretty nice. And you're out there in New Hampshire, correct?
I am. Yes, I'm on the seacoast. We have like 16 miles of coastline in New Hampshire.
Oh, nice, nice. So tell us a little bit. Am I at liberty to say Starry Brook?
Oh, please. Yeah, it's really exciting. I have been working, you know, like many kind of solopreneurs or, you know, healers, coaches, whatnot, from home, you know, and doing more phone and Skype work with some personal work. And this past summer, I started to connect locally into my community and started offering some workshops on a weekly basis. And no, I really didn't have the intention at this time for this to happen, but I truly believe that, you know, when you listen and tune in to spirit speaking to you, sometimes we're being nudged along a path. And I know I've been not only nudged, but pushed. And sometimes I've come kicking and screaming. So I've learned it's just easier to go with the flow of it. And so I was invited into a local practice, Starry Brook Natural Medicine, where there are two naturopathic doctors, a hypnotherapist, a massage therapist, and then I will be there offering EFT, emotional freedom techniques, or tapping, as well as energy healing and relationship coaching.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. More and more people on this program, guests, are talking about this whole concept of tapping. And I remember interviewing Nick Ortman, I'm going to say it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago, when I think it was just starting to come out, and I have the DVD that's available as well. What is it, from your perspective, about tapping that is so unique?
Wow, I'm told that I need to learn how to simplify, because it's just so, there's so many wonderful things about it. You know, it's one of the easiest ways I have found to access the emotional and unconscious trauma and pain that we all are carrying at some level without having to relive an experience, re-traumatize, or be invasive. And we can actually shift things that you have, that have been driving you and creating your experiences for years, and you've had no awareness of that in very short amount of time. I've had people in less than an hour who came in with burning, stiff hands for years, walk away with their hands feeling wonderful, and months later they're still fine. I have another woman whose bone in her toe wouldn't stay in place, and she was at the chiropractor all the time trying to fix it. And within one group tapping session, where we weren't even focusing specifically on her toe, it was back into place, and that was 2 months ago, and she's now walking over 3 miles a day where she couldn't even walk before. So it's just mind-boggling what it can do for some people when you just access people who have been through terrible, terrible, you know, abusive, hurtful kind of experiences in their life, are able to finally step back and acknowledge that, yes, that happened, and not be triggered by it, not relive it, and not have it be a driving force in their life. And the joy and the relief that you see people experience, like, time and time again is amazing.
I know that even though I did the interview, I have the DVD, I've gone through the steps, I know where the points are where you do this particular practice. It is, there are so many different modalities out there. When you tap into the one that resonates for you mm-hmm. and begin to use it, you know, you never want to let it go. If it has that kind of a profound impact on the people that you're working with. And I know that there is no one end all and be all, if you will.
No, there is not.
There are so many. And this just happens to be one that right now this is it. I mean, so to speak, you know what I mean?
It works.
And it's not I don't see it as a fad, because it's always going to be there.
It's been around a lot longer than you realize, Richard. Yeah. Gary Craig years ago was working with veterans mm-hmm. and dealing with PTSD, back in the 70s. So it's actually been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think, Nick Ortner, by the way, has done a fantastic job. Him and his sister, Jessica, and his brother have done an amazing job at really helping it become a little bit more mainstream and more accessible. I have so much respect. I'm actually going to be in Stanford, Connecticut Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with Nick Ortner. He's doing a 3-day conference on tapping in pain.
Wow.
So I'm pretty excited to be able to be there, and not only still work through, you know, I use it a lot myself and still go to practitioners with some other things, because I'm fortunate I have a lot of different ways to access information. But the tapping has for me, I know, like, my entire central nervous system has gone back into a more calm, relaxed state. And for most of my life, I hadn't realized how in overdrive it was. And having Lyme disease really heightened that for me. So it was incredible for me to watch myself get off of narcotic pain medication, nerve pain medication. And honestly, most of what I was doing in that time period was a lot of tapping myself and with other professionals.
Mm. Well, I think it's great that there are so many different modalities, because we're all different. And mm-hmm. one of the things that kind of struck me not too long ago was this aspect that each one of us is on our own individual path, and we come across different things that at times, you know, we want to share with other people. But the thing that struck me and I know that this isn't entirely true. I don't want to use a broad brushstroke here. But what I seemed to see in many instances was that it really only worked for the individual who found it. It's like you have a vision, let's say. Well, I'll use the example of Apple and Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs had the vision for what he was creating. Mm-hmm. When he left this earth, that vision went with him. No one else on the planet, I don't care how devoted they were to Apple and the products that they were creating, nobody had the vision that Steve Jobs had. And so I knew that once he was gone, that company was going to change. Maybe a little, maybe a lot, but it wasn't going to be the same. So each one of us has our own vision, if you will, and only we can fulfill it. Now, we can get support and encouragement from each other, but we're the ones that have to carry it out. Nobody else can do that for us.
And I would agree with that 110%.
So tell me about your vision.
My vision. My vision. I think my vision is to make a difference in the world for people who have struggled, whether it be physically or emotionally and relationally. I think for me, I'm very much driven by love for my brother and his, I think, early illness and death, and what I believe contributed to that. And although on one level I understand now, from a much higher spiritual perspective, I see it differently. Most of my life was about wanting to honor him and to break maybe the dynamics of from some family history. And so wasn't ever sure. I didn't know how that would look. And I just would do the best I can through each phase of my life. So when I had children, for me, when they were younger, that was a part of it. Was okay. How do I parent differently, and how do I teach them the things that I really want them to learn, and that kind of thing. And I've always known, at some level, that I was here to do something really special. I think we all are, but for some reason, it was never a doubt for me that I was here to do something. And I just trusted it, when the time was right, I would follow that. And so for me, my vision really is to heal. It's to heal and make a difference in people's life at the soul level, at the heart level, so that we can all tap into our own innate wisdom, so that we can all live to our fullest potential, so that we can co-create and coexist in this planet, in this universe.
And I know, no pun intended when talking about tapping into.
I don't even think about it anymore.
Well, folks can go to your website, CherieValentine.com, and that's CHERIVALENTINE.com. And there's a quiz. Now, I was reading this just now, and it says, take this free quiz to see where your love light is dim. Do you have a Converse quiz to see where your love light is bright? I know it accomplishes the same task. It would probably be the same link.
Is it really say dim?
It says dim, D-I-M, yes.
I'm sure that's a marketing person, because I would prefer to say bright. But.
Yeah. Well, see, this is one of the problems that we have when we bring other people into our vision, is they're going to do stuff that they think is the way to go. I've had people time and time again, Cherie, tell me, Richard, you need to monetize your program. You need to monetize your website. Charge 99 cents for people to listen to the interviews online. And I'm going, no, that is not what this program's about. You know, that is, you know, and I, fortunately, at this point in my life, I'm not dependent upon the website for my income and my survival. You know, I have a full-time job that I do, you know, 7 days a week with the local radio station. But I'm privileged to have the opportunity, of course, to do this program, have folks on such as yourself, and talk about it. And I'm wondering, because we're all looking for a better world, we're all wanting to create a better world with those new ways of living, as I term it. I mean, you being a spiritual energy healer, your certified emotional freedom techniques specialist, or the tapping, you also offer free chakra cleansing, balancing, and healing meditations, and more. I mean, in one sense, you kind of have it all available to folks. What do you see as some of the roadblocks that you have even overcome through this process of bringing your vision to fruition?
Gosh, I have overcome, well, let's say, given my own power away. I mean, that's a very real thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm aware I've done that. And that was, you know, I did do that time and time again. And I would learn to kind of overcome that and recognize that in different capacities. And I would be really strong in certain areas. And then I would realize, oh, wow, but I'm not in this area. And in one area, I would honestly say it is in bringing my vision to life. I was doing really well on a local kind of venue and really loved the personal interaction in what I was doing. And I did kind of get caught up with like, oh my God, I can serve millions and, you know, be online and do all of that. And so I dropped a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy in trying to create that. But what I realized, and this is one of the challenges I've overcome, is that I wasn't tuning in and really listening if that was a truth for me. I wasn't trusting that I actually knew what was right for me and what I wanted to do and to come from that perspective. I still think there was a lot of myself coming from a place of fear, a place of needing to prove myself, make up for things. And those are all really heavy, dense, negative energies that when you're coming from that perspective, it's really hard to be successful. And so I found for myself when I started to really get quiet and tune in to what is it? Like, how do I want to bring this vision to the world? What really feels good to me and right to me? And what can I really get behind and want to do? It wasn't what I thought and what I had been told and what I was buying into with the kind of the mainstream kind of coaching that's going on out there.
Yeah.
So one is really learning to trust what's right for us, because no one else, because it's right for someone else, because it's working for someone else, because it's somebody else's vision, doesn't mean it's yours or it's right for you. And really understanding that and learning for yourself, what is my truth? How do I want to show up and express it? And am I doing it from a place of really love and desire and from my heart and I'm in alignment with it? Or is it coming from another place of worry or fear or what getting caught up in or whatever that is? So that was a huge, I think, challenge I overcame.
Well, I know, too, that we get caught up in just the day-to-day surviving. You know, just, you know, as I mentioned, I'm fortunate. I don't depend on my website to pay the bills. There is no money coming in from the website, period. So I don't even concern myself. I'm my own webmaster. I haven't meted that out to anybody. I handle all of that, and I've created it, and I've had a little guidance along the way from some folks who offered some very good suggestions. But for the most, but it's, you know, that's all me. Now, I remember having a little conversation with my dad a couple of years ago, and kind of a little heated conversation when I said that, you know, if I was to be talking to some politician who was running for office and they said, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? I'd say that I either was or I wasn't, but it had nothing to do with you. And he said, what do you mean? You didn't do all of this alone. And of course, I acknowledge that. None of us have gotten where we are today solo. It doesn't happen. We did not do this in a vacuum. There was support, direct or indirect, from all different corners. And I think that's one of the things that we're beginning to realize from the standpoint of the aspect of our connectedness to one another. Is that something that you have known for some time, that you do work to try to impart to folks about that? That fact that, you know, we are, you may not go to this degree to say we're all one, but that we are all connected and that our ripples affect the people around us.
Oh, my gosh. I believe it. I teach it. I live it. I experience it. And I'm helping other people experience it themselves. But it's so true. We can change and impact so much from within. And that is something really difficult for people to understand and to get. But when you shift your own energy, you make such a difference in the relationships and the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Just by like tuning into the light within yourself and seeing everybody from a more loving place can make a difference in how you approach people and they approach you. And I do believe like we are we're meant to connect. Like, we're not meant to be isolated. The other challenge, you're asking about challenges, is I was very, very, and you've probably heard a lot about this, but I was very much in a masculine energy for most of my life. You know, do, force, make happen. If I work hard enough, if I do enough, if I stay up late enough, if I get enough done, you know, if I say yes to everybody, you know, if I'm superwoman, you know, and that was like, yeah, okay. We're finding that that's not really working so well for most of us, and that trying to run our life and run our business also sometimes from just a pure male perspective isn't going to work. Neither is being purely feminine. Like, I think there's a reason that there are male energies and female energies. There's a reason that yin and yang exist, and it's because they're meant to interrelate and work together. Mm-hmm. And how do you take the best of both and marry them, and be maybe more balanced in who you are, or at least team up or tap into the truth and more strength of who you are one way or the other, and balance yourself with someone else who balances you, whether it's in business, whether it's a partnership, friendship, you know, male and female at home. I don't mean male and female. I meant spouses.
Right,
you know?
Right. Uh-huh. Right, exactly. That team, that combo.
The team, yeah.
Exactly.
And collaborate and co-create. It really does. Like, they sound like all these buzzwords, but when you start living them, they are so, it's so meaningful.
Well, there's one buzzword I'm glad you didn't use in the context, using the word quantum. I've heard enough of that. It's interesting, too, because, of course, there are a couple of things. Number one, in the news, we just heard that Mr. Higgs, I forget which, won the Nobel Prize in physics in regards to, I guess, finding the God particle. I forget the exact reason why he won it, but nonetheless. Found out, it was fascinating, too, the man does not own a cell phone. And I'm thinking, oh, aren't wow. you lucky? Aren't you lucky that you don't? You don't own a cell phone. As much as I enjoy the playing with the technology, when I have a full 2 days on the weekend that I am free from everything, it's fabulous. I live up in a rural area above Santa Barbara, and it is just great to be able to get away, reconnect with nature, if you will, and just enjoy being where I am. So it's, and then of course the other thing too about you know, how we're connected. I use this analogy in light of what you shared. That if God had intended for each of us to live isolated and solitary lives, there are a sufficient number of planets, habitable planets in the universe, that each of us, believe it or not, 7 billion plus, could each have our own planet. But my observation is that, obviously, that isn't the way it was intended, because guess where all 7 billion of us are? Right here on this planet. And so what that says to me is that means that we're supposed to be working together in some way to accomplish I don't know what, other than, as it's been shared with me on this program numerous times, other than to have the experiences that we're having.
I would agree.
So this is very interesting. Now, when we get back from our break, I would like to maybe go into a couple of other directions in terms of talking about some of the other things that that you may have experienced and so forth, and as well as just some of the general conversation we might have as we continue here. On Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, I'm Richard Dugan. We are talking with Cherie Valentine, and she is one of the hosts on A2Zen.fm. And Cherie, tell us the name of the program and when they can hear it.
Well, the name of the program is Seeds of Love. I'm on a break right now from doing any more live shows, mm-hmm. but the archives should all be available still, and also they're available on my website. So there is a year and a half of shows, all the podcasts you can listen to for the last year and a half, and while I'm figuring out the next step and how I go forward with the radio.
Okay. And we'll be back with more from Cherie Valentine here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, talking here with Cherie Valentine. CherieValentine.com is the website. Cherie mentioned at the break, before we took our break, about archives of the podcast, if you will. See, that's the other thing, too, is terminology. I mean, I call them archives. All of my programs, they're archives. But there will be those who will call them podcasts. But I don't make them available in the in that context, in terms of being able to subscribe and download, even for free, because I just don't want to get into that. I just say, look, go to richarddugan.com. You'll find the radio show's page, and I have, 7 years worth of programs there of this broadcast, and you can go there and listen to or download and what have you. Find the ones you like. I'm also trying to begin the process of naming them a little bit more, giving a little bit more of a description as to what you're going to find there, as opposed to just the name of the guest. But then again, we do have the name of the guest as the link to your website, such as yours, Cherie. And so people just click on that and boom, they know exactly what it is that, for the most part, they're going to know what we talk about. I was wondering, from your perspective and the things that you've experienced, the people that you've come across, maybe even the insights that you have gathered, if you will, or, been made privy of, in terms of a lot of current events, which we don't usually talk about on this program. But a lot of people get themselves very wound up, and I'm not alone. Every so often I'll get into a conversation and I'll get pretty darn excited about, my particular view of it. And just recently we got rid of our satellite TV. Now the only way that we get any information is either through the radio station that I'm on, or we listen to NPR sometimes in the car, and we have two of the main entertainment outlets that are available to us through our TV, of like Netflix and Hulu, right? So we're just watching our, these programs, and sometimes we'll see a film, hey, that looks interesting, and we'll watch that, and it was rather interesting. We never would have found it, never would have seen it, had we stayed with the satellite TV. And it was a combination of economics as well, but nonetheless, it opened up some interesting doors in terms of things that we would not have been exposed to otherwise. Some fascinating documentaries. I'm not sure if the Tapping documentary is there, or it might be available. We can also access YouTube as well. And there's some documentaries that are available through that. I know that, the documentary Thrive the Movement is also, I think, available on YouTube. Another a neat movie to watch. It gives you some great insights into what people are doing in the world. So I'm curious, from your perspective, can you give us a little bit of your take on, maybe in a general sense, maybe just in an energetic from an energetic perspective, what is what's going on out there?
Well, I don't really watch TV.
You are so lucky.
Or watch the news, mm-hmm. or listen to the news ever. So I do. If I do watch television, it might be like HGTV, because okay. I am a junkie about like renovations and homes and transformation in any kind of fashion.
Cool.
So
yeah.
My feeling is, if something is happening, I'm going to hear about it one way or another. And it's true. I always hear about it. Like, I have a sister-in-law who knows I don't watch the news, so she'll send me a text if something big's happening, or, I'm going to find out. Just energetically, I just don't watch TV, first of all. And I find energetically, I'm spending less time at my computer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm online, I'm not online like going to CNN trying to find out what's happening in the world again.
Right.
I think there's a huge shift taking place right now in a higher level of consciousness, and some people are just resisting, and I think sometimes, you have to just destroy to create. There's that balance again.
Birth and death, the cycle.
Yeah, and so I don't know. It feels like to some we're self-destructing in some capacities, but that's going to open a way for a, maybe a whole new way of doing things and being.
Well, I know some of these scientists that they're awarding this Nobel Prize to for some of their discoveries and insights into our universe, in big and small ways. I think that maybe that's also because I remember hearing about three gentlemen who are actually going to share the prize, and I forget which field it's in. And that had they not come, and they're from other countries, but they did their main work back in the 70s in the United States. And had they not come together and brought their pieces together to formulate that triad, so to speak, then they would have not discovered the things that they had. How important do you think that is in terms of our connecting with one another?
I for me, I think it's the only way. Mm-hmm. You know, the collective minds coming together, I think, and working together rather than in competition, I think we can just create so much more from in a more powerful way, in a more loving way, in a way that really just can resonate and vibrate at a much higher level.
So you're obviously of the mind that cooperation is going to work a whole lot better than competition.
I think I believe that most of the time, for the most part, yes.
Okay.
I think there's a time I probably saw competition, and I mean I'm balanced. I have to be honest with you. I think from a very loving and spiritual place, I do think we need to cooperate, and I think that sometimes competition and too much competitiveness interferes with what can really be accomplished for the higher good. Because when you're competing and it's someone has to always be a winner, and it comes from power or greed or some kind of a place that really isn't about serving the highest good, that's not a healthy thing. But then I look at, you know, this is a totally different place, but did you see the movie? I think it was Grandparents or Parenthood or something.
Do you remember who was in it? That sounds familiar. It does sound familiar.
I do. I'm looking right. Marissa Tomei was the mother. Bette Midler was her mother.
Okay. Yes, I do remember that one. Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a scene where they're playing softball and there's no outs, right? There's no outs. And so they just go and go and go until they hit the ball. And so I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks, well, I'm not sure that's good either, because whether we like it or not, there still is a sense of, you know, as these kids get older and they go compete and they do play games, it's not always going to be that way. And I'm not sure, like, what we're teaching them either, you know? That's, you know, that you have to have some sort of sensibility within yourself to want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, and so I think I'm not communicating really well, and I'm so sorry because I know it sounds ridiculous.
Well, actually, you make an interesting point, which raises an interesting experience that I'm having presently with our dog. His name is Angus. He's a big black King Shepherd, and he's only 10 months old. So he's still a puppy, but he's 90 pounds and a big boy, especially when he jumps up on the bed. And he has this soccer ball, full-size soccer ball, that I cannot distract him from it with anything. I have a handful of dog treats. He will not let go of the ball. I have a Frisbee. He'll chase it with the ball in his mouth. I will throw sticks. He will chase them with the ball in his mouth. And then, of course, we get to a phase in the game where he will drop the ball, and we have this little hill in the yard, and he'll be at the top of the hill, and he'll drop the ball, and it'll roll down the hill, and I'll kick it, and he'll chase it. But there is nothing that will – he is so focused on that ball. But all he cares about is not just the ball, because he doesn't do anything with it unless we're in the yard with him. That's the only time he will play with it, okay? And it's his pride and joy. It's his. He knows it. And it isn't a question of competition with me, because I stand there and I wait for him to drop it. I wait for him to do something that will allow me to, you know, sail it across the yard, and then he goes chasing it and so forth. So this is the game for us. And there is no competition. There is no winner or loser. It's just having fun. And so I have to wonder, going back to what I was told, because I had a guest on not too long ago who did not care much for the analogy of human beings being here. Why are we here? To have lessons. This is Schoolhouse Earth, because she felt that it was something punitive about lessons. That her perspective was, we're here to have experiences. So in light of the dog story, I'm wondering, because that's what animals, I mean, that's what he's doing. He's not competing. He's not earning anything. He's not earning any income that he brings into the family. He's just enjoying himself and us and just having that connection. And I have to wonder if maybe, Cherie, that's kind of where, I think maybe that's where you're coming from.
Yes. Thank you for
You know, the questions can go that way sometimes, folks. You know, and I should know better than that. I've been doing this long enough. Never ask a closed-ended question. Yeah. But
I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's what makes these programs always so much fun to do, because I think that one of the aspects of our lives, Cherie, is that we never know who we're going to connect with. And I don't want to be the one talking all that much here, but I'm going to share with you something that just recently happened. I started rereading my metaphysical primer that most of our listeners know is Autobiography of a Yogi. And then I met, when we moved to Santa Barbara, I met a Swami by the name of Swami Vidyadishananda. Now, he has a connection to Paramahansa, but not directly. His guru's guru was Paramahansa. But he is not a part of that organization, if you will, that Paramahansa put together. He is of a different order, but the same basic teachings, right? So I said, oh, you must be like a different branch on the same tree. Well, then I met another gentleman who has written a book about the life and times from his perspective of Paramahansa. He is the last remaining disciple and teacher of Paramahansa, right? Now I get an email just today as we're talking about a new documentary about an ashram in Northern California. And if I have this name correct, I believe it's Ananda Village. I think that's right. Which has the gentleman who wrote the book, who is the last remaining teaching disciple of. And I'm sitting here, as I'm bringing all of these pieces in together, I'm going, oh, man, there's a message here somewhere, and I've got to find it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have you found it yet?
I haven't found it yet.
Okay.
I haven't found it yet. And I don't know where – I'm curious as to what your spiritual and or religious background is.
Oh, I'm happy. I was raised Catholic, Roman Catholic, and went to a Catholic school, and that served me really well for quite a while. But then in my 20s, it just didn't make sense to me. It hadn't made sense to me on many levels for a long time. So I was sort of faithless. Like, I just honestly didn't know what to believe, and I found that was really hard to go through that time. And I started to just look into questioning. So my spiritual at this point is, I don't believe there's any one true religion or any one truth or dogma. I think it's wonderful if people find that and mm-hmm. it serves them and it works for them. Like, I'm not against organized religion. I just honestly, from my perspective, and this is just my opinion, mm-hmm. when I look back to so much of what's happened in the world that's been war or pain or just negative, it's been over power, and it's been over religion. And to me, I don't think it's about this is the right faith or this is the right way to be. I think it's going into your heart and being coming from a loving place. I also think that a lot of times people think if you're spiritual, like you can't make money, you know, or you know, you're supposed to be perfect and you're supposed to be a saint. And it's really not about that either. It's really about, honestly, I think doing the best you can to find your truth and to express yourself from a loving place and to be honest. And that, and find what works for you.
I would tend to agree with you. I had the same similar background or upbringing. I actually had a nice addition to that with my first marriage, where I was a member of the Byzantine Rite or Eastern Rite of the Catholic Church. And you want to talk about ritual and ceremony and tradition. Wow. And I love that stuff. I really do. I have this great affinity for candles and incense and trying to create some kind of ceremony with different special events. You know, a matter of fact, we have, I'll call it a special event. I it's strange to refer to the passing of someone as, oh, this is the 10th anniversary of the passing of. I'll just say that it's been 10 years since this person passed, and it's going to be more of a remembrance in that respect. But that's coming up, believe it or not, on it came up actually on the 10th of October, 10-10. And so I love that. I love that kind of stuff. And it's also one of the reasons why I kind of like the movies and television programs say more medieval times. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's something about it that rings true, but I'm no longer practicing in that respect. It's kind of mm-hmm. like a doctor. I have a practice. We haven't gotten it right yet. Have you?
Well, I will say, I can still go into a Catholic church or any church. And I do love like the ritual aspect of it. And there are certain things of it. And to this day, like I have a book of prayers I've created that maybe aren't the traditional prayers that I learned, but I pray and I've been gathering things that make sense to me. And in the past year, I've been studying shamanism, which really is more of just understanding that everything has a spirit. You know, all living things have a spirit, and learning how to communicate, and also understanding that even like illness has a spirit. There's an energy behind everything. And it's also about, again, you know, I've been talking about tapping into your own inner wisdom and guidance. And from their perspective, it's really about self-revelation and really, again, understanding the capacity that we all have to communicate and receive guidance from spirit, whatever that looks like for us, whoever that may be.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more in that respect. And I think that each one of us has to come to the place where we're ready to start finding that and seeking that out. It's along the same lines, again, of finding your purpose. You know, what is your life's purpose? Why are you here? Kind of thing. I ask that question of other people out there who are behaving in very, what I'll call very unusual ways that don't seem to me to fit. But, you know, that's what they're here to do because that's what they're doing. It's one of those sayings I heard at an intensive that I went to when it first started out and people were grumbling about being there. The facilitator said, well, let me just put it this way. If you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be. So obviously you wanted to be here because here is where you are. That's kind of a bitter pill to swallow, but there is a great truth in that wherever you are is where you wanted to be, because if you wanted to be somewhere else, that's where you'd be, but you're not. So consider that. There's food for thought for you for this program in addition to everything else. What about some of the other things that you have, shall we say, investigated or searched and so found during your, what I like to call, I've been on a search, like I said, since I was 17. It's not a question of having found it yet. It is about what I find along the path. So I'm curious as to some of the insights, some of the aha moments that you have had, say, over the course of the years.
Wow, I think...
Maybe epiphany is a good word.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, one of the things, and at a young age too, I think I was maybe a teenager, but I understood that we all have a choice. Like, even when we don't realize it, we always have a choice, whether it might be how do we show up, how do we react, how do we handle something, how do we feel about something. But we always have a choice. And that was really freeing for me. The other thing for me was to choose happiness. Like, no matter how bad things were in my life, I just always choose to see the good, to see the silver lining. And I used to, you know, some people used to make fun of me because I would look at the world through my rose-colored glasses. But I got to tell you, that's a much better world than a lot of people, than the world most people see. So I'm sticking in my bubble. You know? But I think that was really freeing for me when I actually understood that. When I started to see, like, the power that we have in our thoughts to really decide how we want to show up and how we want to be and how we want to handle things. There's so much freedom in that, and especially when we often don't think we have a choice, you know, when we're in situations where we're being told what to do, or, you know, you don't have a voice, or you think you're stuck in a job. We're never really stuck unless you choose to see it that way. A couple years ago, I felt that way. I had made a decision, and I felt really stuck. And when I realized that, no, you're not stuck, Cherie. There's absolutely several things that you can do in this situation, and even some that maybe you're not aware of that mm-hmm. exist. And when I started to look at it that way, opportunities came along, in that situation actually got better. But again, I could have chosen to see myself as being stuck, or I could have chosen to be open to it resolving. Mm-hmm. And so I think, I'm repeating myself, but I really want to reiterate that, because I think so many people don't feel they have a choice in their life. And the biggest choice mm-hmm. you have is your attitude.
Yeah. Well, you could be the spokesperson for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, because that's really what we talk about, is bringing to the table choices that you may or may not have ever heard of before. When my present wife and I left Phoenix in 2006, it dawned on me that we did not have to wait for both of our jobs to disappear to make the move. We could have done it at any time. However, someone shared with me, well, you do realize there is also universal timing. I said, all right, fine. Okay. I'll take that one into consideration. But still, you don't have to wait for the walls to fall down to buy a new house, or whatever the metaphor you choose to use. Whatever you want to do, you can do now. And at the same time, Cherie, what about the role of intuition in all of this?
Oh, I have to tell you, when I firmly believe for myself that my three really intense, acute, chronic, long-term disabling experiences from Lyme disease mm-hmm. were for me not listening to my intuition, and that when I started to really, really listen, my life changed for the better. And I think there was a time in my life when I did honor and listen to my intuition. And again, my life flowed so much better when I did. And I teach people how to do that. I teach people how to develop their intuition, to understand the different way intuition shows up in your life and speaks to you, and how to learn to develop a relationship with it so you can trust it and have more confidence in yourself and in your choices.
Well, you know, when I have different individuals on having different modalities of accessing that information, if you will, I always refer to it not as an intuitive or psychic reading that's going to give you some information you didn't have. It's more, it's going to give you confirmation of what you already know.
Yes.
Even if you aren't consciously aware of that knowledge.
It's absolutely true. I mean, I think when somebody else uses their psychic or intuitive gifts or capacities and tunes in with you, it really is it's facilitating that space for you to help you, you know, go to that place for yourself. And when we when you share that information, it opens up so much more for that person, and then they're able to actually see more for themselves.
What do you see as, from your perspective, even utilizing that wonderful gift of intuition, as our future? Where do you think we're going to be in 10 or 15 or 20 years?
I really think we are going to be in a much better place. I do. I think there is going to just be, I think the pendulum has just been swinging back and forth really wildly. And I just see us coming into a more balanced place where everything doesn't have to be so extreme and so one way or the other.
I share your optimism. At the same time, I'm even, asking what I was told was a much higher consciousness kind of question, having to do with man's existence. And I said then, and I'll say it now, I am not advocating the annihilation of the human race. But my question is, why, with all of the stuff that's going on in the world and has been, and this little game we keep playing century after century, why should the human race continue beyond the people that are already here?
Why shouldn't it?
Well,
I don't see any
touché
reason why.
Well, it's going to, whether we like it or not, I believe. But I often wonder sometimes, it's like, what is it that we're trying to accomplish here? Because we're not. Whatever it is, it's not happening. Other than, again, going back to that issue of having the experiences.
I mean, I do think that we're all just spirit inside this body. Mm-hmm. The body is just the physical manifestation in this lifetime, in that we come back again and again. Mm-hmm. And I think we come back striving for an ideal of a perfection in a time that we all remember, and that's why we keep coming back. And that's going to the more people that come in to this world from a higher vibration, from a higher consciousness, from more of a memory of that place, that you are going to see the world just improve.
And you also do tend to believe as well that we sort of some form of agreement or contract prior to entering this world, that here's some of the experiences that I would like to have, be it maybe skydiving or growing up in a particular type of family in a different type of another part of the world, et cetera, under these different circumstances, only because those are the experiences that I want to have.
I hated that when I first heard that. And I thought it was a bunch of hogwash. Because I certainly wouldn't have chosen what I chose if I had done that.
Uh-huh.
But no, but I do believe it, actually. I really do. I believe it because I think I've experienced it at such levels that I wouldn't have understood. And I've just seen it again and again working with people. And that we forget. Like, we don't remember that that's why we came here. And I think that there are lessons that we're doing again and again, or experiences again and again, because there is a sense of karma and there's a sense of energy that carries through time and space. And honestly, Richard, sometimes I hear myself and I'm like, wow, who am I? Because there was a time like I couldn't even listen to you if you talked like this. But I see it all the time when I'm doing energy healings, the information that I access and that I'm able to, it's hard to refute it when I see it and experience it for myself with so many people and for myself. So I do believe that. I really do.
Well, it kind of goes back to what I think I uttered earlier, and that is that statement that was made to me in that one encounter group. If you didn't want to be where you are, you'd be somewhere else. And obviously, you want to be here because here's where you are, i.e., all right, let's tie that to reincarnation and coming into this life and where you are in your life. Well, that's obviously the life that you wanted, because if you wanted a different life, you'd have it, but you don't. So blah, 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 blah.
So just be here and be in acceptance.
Exactly.
The more, one of the lessons, the more I learn to just accept things rather than judge them and resist them or wish they were different and want them to be something else, life becomes just so much more pleasant and it flows more easily. And when you accept things, it doesn't mean you give up and you settle. It just means, yeah, this is real. I mean, this is true. Like, this is how I feel. You know, this is what's happening. I mean, you can deny it all you want. You can resist it and fight it all you want. But the truth is, you know, you are here and this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You know? And so I find that when we stop fighting that and just accept, you know, I don't know how much time we have left, but do I have time to tell a quick story?
Please. Please do.
I mean, an example of that is a few years ago, I was living in Nashua with my fiancé at the time, and my heart just needed to be back at the seacoast. I mean, I just knew, like, when I moved to Nashua, it was supposed to be temporary. Then I bought a house, and like one thing after another. And I was like, oh, my goodness. We're in this house, and I renovated his home. We lived in it. It was a beautiful home. But I was just, my heart was like, I just was so unhappy. And I couldn't wait. When are we moving? When are we moving? We agreed when we met. We weren't going to stay here very long ago. You know, the whole nine yard. And when I realized what I was doing and thought, you know what? Here's the deal, Cherie. This is where you live. This is the reality right now. And it's a wonderful place to be. And when it's right and when it's possible, you'll be somewhere else. You'll be at the seacoast. But for now, just be here. Like, be present, be here, and accept this. And I swear, and once I did, like, I felt so much better. But here's the interesting thing. My husband, my fiance at the time, actually, after me, I had been nagging. You know, we know how well that works, right? About making this change. And once I was in acceptance, like, it wasn't an energy in the air anymore, and it didn't matter. Within, I would say, like a month, literally, of me making that internal shift and change and just being in acceptance, he came to me and said, do you know, we're going to be in Hampton this summer for a month. I think it might be a good time for us to start looking for a house.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. And so I'm like, oh, wow. So I can tell you story after story when I've learned to sort of just shift that place within myself and be in acceptance when, like, so much happens that I wanted in the first place without having to do anything.
You know, I can relate a similar story where I finally gave up the desire to get a driver's license just to drive a moped. And at the time, I was legally blind. And when I finally gave that up, it was 1995. And I had been trying to go every which way through the Arizona DMV and just couldn't do it. And I knew that I would be fine. I knew that I was a better driver than most of the drivers out there that wouldn't do it. And the next thing I knew, I was getting a lens implant, and next thing after that was I was actually getting a driver's license, and before I knew it, I and my second wife and I were driving across country from Arizona to California to Santa Barbara, and as we entered LA traffic, I was looking around going, wow, I'm actually driving through LA traffic, you know, and it's like, and I had never expected that to happen in my lifetime, because again, going back to 95, I'd given up. I'd said, you know what? It's okay. I don't need to drive a car. A bicycle will be, I know of people who have ridden bicycles their entire lives until they drop dead. So it's okay. I think I can do fine. I don't need that other thing. And the next thing I knew, boom, all of those things opened up.
Isn't that great? Don't you just love when that happens?
Boy, when you let go and you get out of the way, you become part of the process and you stop trying to control the process. It makes a huge difference. It's just amazing. Before we wrap up the program, a couple of more questions for you. Who is Cherie Valentine?
Who am I? I am a mother. I'm a wife. I am a lover of happiness and joy, and I enjoy being outdoors and just connecting with people. I'm a connector, a collaborator. I'm an enchantress of joyful hearts.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I really want to, help the younger generation, the children coming into this world, to grow up with more stability and peace and confidence in themselves. And the way I really feel I can do that is to work with the adults who can impact the children. And to heal that, you know, I really want to make a difference because I do believe so many people have suffered in their lives, and I want to help them see that suffering is a gift and to move beyond it into the possibility that exists for them.
And how powerful are we as human beings?
I think we're incredibly powerful. I think we honestly can create and manifest anything we want if we truly are willing to take responsibility for that ability to do that. And it's not as easy. I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. We need to be very conscious and aware of the thoughts, the things we think, the words we speak, because those are the seeds we're planting for our future and for our what's in front of us. And we also have to understand, too, that there's another piece of it, and that the energy and that feeds that those thoughts and those words are often unconscious, and to bring the two in alignment. And when we do that, anything is possible.
Sheree, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. It's been great having you here.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
I want to let our listeners know there is an afterview that goes on beyond what you've already heard. Go to richarddugan.com, the radio show page, and listen to the entire interview. And you've been listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.